Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
On a rainy Sunday morning,
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On today's show, we have some special guests for our non-Filipino listening audience. October is Filipino-American History Month, and we have three individuals on the show that are going to be talking about an event that will be taking place on October the 12th. The event is entitled Ako'y Ay Filipino. It'll be at the Indigenous Roots. It will be hosted by Indigenous Roots and FIRM. It is from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, October the 12th. And we'd like to have our guests introduce themselves today here on The Fan. Can you guys hear me?
Good evening. Yeah, you sound great. Thanks, Alan. Happy to be here. My name is Greg King. I am one of the co-founders of FIRM, which is an acronym standing for Filipinx for Immigrant Rights and Racial Justice in Minnesota. It was formed in 2017.
Hey everyone, mabuhay. My name is Marianne Ligeralde Quiroz. I'm one of the co-founders and the current executive director of Indigenous Roots Cultural Arts Center, and also a proud member of FIRM. Ate Marlena, take it away.
Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Good evening, everybody. I am Marlena Gonzalez. I'm also co-founder of Filipinx for Immigrant Rights and Racial Justice in Minnesota. I've been a longtime supporter with Indigenous Roots, and I am honored to be in the company of Greg King and Marianne Quiroz to talk about what we're about to do for kiddos coming up on October 12th.
And a big shout out goes out to May Loso, who pretty much set up this interview in about 3 minutes. So big thanks to May.
So, and is also one of the co-planners of this event, by the way. Yeah. So May will be there as well.
So could you tell us how this event came about for this year?
Well, FIRM and Indigenous Roots have a couple-year history now of collaborating on events for Filipino-American History Month. And this year, we got contacted by May Los Loso, who really wanted to have an event that would be all-ages friendly, because her son is getting to that age where learning about his heritage is something that she's really excited to introduce to him. And so... it was really May who reached out to both of us and asked if we could plan an all ages event that, for Filipino American History Month. And we said, sure. Yeah, we always want to plan something, and it was a great time to do that.
And why do you feel that Indigenous Roots is the perfect venue for this sort of an event?
Well, and for FIRM, so FIRM is an organization that was formed in 2017, and we don't have a physical space. You know, it's a collective of folks who gather to hold events and do education and community engagement. But Indigenous Roots has been our home when we have events many times. partly because Marianne is one of the co-founders of Firm and has offered that space, and also because it's a great incubator for not just Firm, but a whole host of different communities for arts and culture and small business. And so it's just a wonderful incubator space that Firm has grown up in.
And I believe...
Marianne... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Marianne.
Greg said it pretty well. Indigenous Roots hosts and houses many and incubates many multicultural, multidisciplinary, multigenerational artists and culture bearers and groups like Firm. I think because we have built a trusting relationship throughout the years, and you know, folks feel really comfortable in this space, whether it's dancing or singing or organizing, reading together. We've been able to kind of co-create the space together for our Filipino company, our Filipino community, along with our Filipino relatives and community supporters that are really interested and want to lift up Filipino culture as well.
I think it's also significant that we are holding a Filipino American event at Indigenous Roots because it reminds the community that we have indigeneity, that we have indigenous folktales, culture, songs, practices that had been washed away because of colonization. And so having it at a place like Indigenous Roots, which not only represents one specific culture, but all cultures and their indigenous roots, is a really significant statement.
And what sort of activities will the families find during this event?
For sure, we're going to have food. So good Filipino food will always be there. May shared a book called Lakas and the Makibaka Hotel. So we're going to take excerpts from the book, from the story, and really do an interactive puppetry, theater. So we'll have different readers, and Ate Marlena can share a little bit more, but we have that. There's also going to be an interactive map about immigration stories from the Philippines to here to the U.S. or here to to Minnesota, similar to an activity that we did in several other events that we've hosted, co-hosted with different partners. So if Greg and Marlena want to share more a little bit about the activity, that's activities that we have. But yeah, so definitely food, singing, and reading, and just bringing our people together and just sharing space. Like Greg said, we've done an event almost, I want to say like the last couple of years, last 3 years, maybe 4 years, of something in October. And I know it's Filipino American history, but really it's just embracing like the title that we have this year is Ako'y Pilipino. And so it's really just who I am as a Filipino person, whether we come from, whether we just immigrated to the U.S. now or recently, or we're like generations that have been here in America, or we're of mixed race and one of our parents is Filipino. And so it's really just who are we, who, how do we self-identify and be proud of our Filipino culture, no matter how it shows up for us.
And for our listeners that aren't well-versed in Tagalog, what does Ako ay Pilipino translate to?
Nobody, everybody's burnt lunch. Ako ay Pilipino means I am Filipino. And I think what's significant about asserting that sentence, which seems pretty obvious to those of us that are from the community, is as Filipino Americans, we have become we're so easily absorbed by American culture that we almost disappear into American culture, whereas other Asian American groups, you know, stand out because you hear them speaking their language. We are English speakers, and it tends to make us more invisible in some paradoxical way. So asserting who we are is just a reminder that we are a strong part of the Asian American community. And even though there's more representation in the East Coast and the West Coast, there's very significant multi-generational population of immigrants and American-born residents of Minnesota.
And
okay, exactly what Ate Marlena said. And I think for, you know, for me and having mixed babies that are Mexicanos, I was recently in the West Coast in San Francisco and Seattle, and everywhere I walked, there were always Tagalog speakers. Mm-hmm. We hit up a taco stand in the corner, and all the customers were, I mean, the cooks that made the tacos were Mexican, but all the folks that were eating there were all Filipino, and you could just hear Tagalog. And I was like, yep, solidarity through food. That's also real. But I think for me, it's really here, we're in the Midwest. We don't really, like, it's been amazing that the Philippine Center has hosted lots of Filipino events, Filipino-centered events. And what the difference is, I think, when we hosted Indigenous Roots, that we get a lot of different folks of mixed race and also folks who are non-Filipino that do come to just learn more. And I think because at Indigenous Roots, that's kind of where folks go to learn about different cultures as well, lends itself to for that space. So it's not the perfect space always, but it's the perfect space for us to do this event. So, yeah.
And I think the Midwest upbringing maybe heightens, I think, as I've seen multiple generations grow up in Minnesota, a thirst of their Filipino heritage that I think when you do go to an East Coast or a West Coast, I mean, they're half the time they're shocked. They're like, oh, there's Filipinos in Minnesota. And then you realize some of the things that we do here in Minnesota that they might not do out in those areas. And they're very shocked at some of the accomplishments that we've done here in as Filipino Americans in Minnesota. And my daughter Kehlani and my two nieces, Malia and Myla, went to one of the first iterations of this event at Indigenous Roots. And it was probably the first time that they really got in touch with Tininkling, which they've all had various levels of involvement in, but it was a safe place where I don't think they felt pressured into learning the culture, where I think sometimes that can be a multi-generational issue in regards to culture. So I compliment you guys as giving it a place where, gosh, these kids are going to be in their, gosh, they're almost going to be in almost teenagers in a couple of years, which is scary for me to think. Mm. But I think they really enjoyed their time there, learning the dancing. And you guys had, I believe, Christina Oxtra reading an excerpt from something that she had written in one of those events. But as you said, now we're in regards to our guests here, where some of us grew up here most of our lives, some of us moved here to the United States. What do you think has been different from your guys' experience of growing up Filipino in Minnesota as opposed to your children?
I think you just named it, Alan. And I love that you shared that story about your daughters. It makes me happy to hear that, because I think it's a very similar experience to my kids. Where, you know, when I was growing up here, I came here when I was 10 years old, straight to Minnesota. And there was, was already a Filipino community here. And we're very isolated, right? Like if you know we exist, then you're in those, you know, at those events, those Filipino events, like the Pasco event that we do, this Flores de Mayo, and then the Philippine Day. So those are kind of like the staple events. And I think for me, what I wanted is for my kid, because my kids are of mixed race, like I didn't want them to feel pulled to one culture or another, or that the cultures had to compete with one another. And so we kind of just had to introduce things like, you know, little by little, so that they didn't feel that pressure, that they had to know how to do this or how to say that or how to sing this or how to dance that. And so it's nice to see that we're all coming together to support our young people. And I think what May is doing with other Filipino mamas, doing the readings, the book readings, and really is about language revitalization. Because, you know, in the Philippines, everyone, I mean, a large percentage speak English. And so Tagalog is basically, you know, starting to become an extinct language, and that we don't want that. It's such a beautiful language and a very deep language. So if we can preserve even, you know, just the words through song and reading and just exchanging through food, is really what I'm hoping that we can, you know, get out of every of the events that we put together. So
I didn't grow up here, but I raised my daughter here, most of it as a single parent. But my daughter's father is Thai. So she belonged to a household when I was still married that was Thai and Filipino. And I think the loss of a household like that is because my ex-husband and I didn't have a common language. We spoke English to each other. So my daughter lost the opportunity to actually learn one or both languages, especially since we didn't have relatives here when she was growing up. I think what's really significant about having, you know, books written to children, and as we've mentioned, La Casa at, and the Makibaka Hotel is going to be presented as one of the highlights for the kids, is even though they don't speak Tagalog or Bisaya or Ilocano or whatever dialect or language your families speak, I think attuning the ears to the rhythm and the musicality of our language is the first step to understanding that, hey, we do have a language and it's indigenous to my ancestors and to my elders. And even though I might not hear it in my household, hearing it spoken around me and in a form that I can be entertained by, and seeing other children is already a very significant step towards making sure that our kids and our young people have the awareness and the appreciation of the cultures that their parents and their grandparents have brought with them.
Yeah, I think as a parent myself, my wife is Polish American, so not Filipina, but I think it's just that I've had to be much more intentional about making sure that my kids get exposed to Filipino culture regularly. You know, when I was growing up, my mom, having moved here from Cebu, it wasn't that hard because her friends all spoke Tagalog or Bisaya, and she was still very close to her family. So we would visit relatives in New York or the Philippines or California, and I would be kind of immersed in, you know, the Filipino community here in Minnesota or with our Filipino relatives. And with my kids, they just have much less opportunity for that. And so it's been really fun and exciting to be much more intentional about introducing things where, like this, where it's designed for maybe, you know, people who wouldn't feel like if they went to a Film Minnesotan Association event and everybody speaking Tagalog that they would feel like they could fit in right away, right? But an event like this that's intentionally designed to be kind of entry level and also deeply connected is something that I really enjoy doing now, just because, again, as a parent, I have to be more thoughtful and intentional while making sure my kids have that opportunity.
I think Marlena and Greg said it really nicely and well. I think for me, listening to both of you, what also came up for me is not just, it's not, yes, we do it for the kids and the next generation, but it's actually really healing for me as well. Like, I enjoy it very much because I didn't get to, once we immigrated here, you know, parents are working, we're like trying to assimilate into school, we're trying to fit in, we're trying to belong, and a lot of that, you know, our Filipino culture kind of gets put on the back side of things and not centered in our lives. And so for me, when we do these events, like, it makes my heart really happy because, you know, we are all doing it together. Like, we're reading together, we're singing together, we're moving together. And so we're just building community together through these things. So I think for me, as someone who came here at 10 years old and growing up here and not really having access, not to say that there was no spaces for Filipinos. It was just, my parents were just really busy and I was in other things, and or I transportation. There's so many different reasons, right? But so that's why for me, it's also just been really gratifying to be able to do this together and play a role where I can be of service to our community as well.
And I think such organizations as Indigenous Roots and FIRM have given people in the community more options of getting involved, because I do see Greg and Marianne, we're within similar generations, but I think Greg, you, from what I can tell, you got a little more involved, say later on in life with the direct Filipino community here. And sometimes I think some people have a hard time getting involved because into established organizations, because there's certain ways how things are done. And I sometimes say the 30-year-olds too, and I will, my birthday is actually on October the 12th, that.
Oh boy.
That.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
We'll celebrate.
Yes.
That there's a little bit of, I think, there's some lostness, if that's a word, with some people in the community, because I think they want to be involved, but they don't know how to be involved. And how can not only kids, but I guess adults out there, how can they be more involved in organizations such as FIRM and Indigenous Roots, about learning about aspects of immigration rights and learning the culture through events that Indigenous Roots host, not only just Filipino, but for other Indigenous people?
Yeah, I mean, FIRM is, that's really well put, Alan. Marianne also kind of described my experience growing up and in my teen years, kind of really going into, you know, really white spaces and trying to fit in and blend in. And I did step away from the Filipino community organizations when I went off to college. And it really was becoming a parent and having to think about what I wanted to represent to my kids and what I wanted them to see that made me come back. So I did come back when my kids were old enough to start getting them involved. And I think what FIRM was, it was an attempt to, you know, have a lot of pride for those of us who are second generation or mixed race, but still, but grew up here and care a lot about representing the, you know, the voice of the Filipino community here in Minnesota. You know, my mother and her generation have a lot of pride about the Philippines, and are great historians and taught me a lot about the resilience it takes to build a community here. But FIRM is a place, it's a collective where we can gather and try to create events that build our pride for being Filipino, American, or second generation, or mixed race, and still fully Filipino, right? Whether or not we speak Tagalog. And I think for us, part of advocating for immigrant rights is having that pride in, again, the resilience of being an immigrant community. And I think it's something that even in my family, we didn't talk a lot about. And it's something that we really just wanted to raise up, that it's something, again, that we should be proud of. And so for FIRM, we hold, you know, we try to hold events a couple of times a year. Lately, it's been a lot of information about what's going on in immigration and the changing immigration law and knowing your rights. And we've built up a network of attorneys and other immigrant rights groups that we can get information and support from. But we also like to hold events where celebrates heritage, both past heritage in the Philippines and in the current heritage we're building here. So we'd love to have, we send out a newsletter. You can sign up for it at firmtc.org. And we're a collective of folks. So if you have ideas that are about celebrating immigrant rights and our heritage, reach out and we'll use our resources, whether it's social media or we have some limited funds to create events like this. And that's kind of our mission. It's low barrier to entry for FIRM.
Yes. And it's been really beautiful to see Firm grow, you know, the same way, like at the same time as Indigenous Roots has been growing. And for us, you know, we're not even as leveled up as Firm with a newsletter, but you can reach us through social media on Facebook or Instagram, on our website. We will work on that newsletter to get out to folks. But, you know, for us, I think my focus is always like, how do we provide or create spaces where we don't have culture bearers readily here locally. So last year we brought Christian Kabuai twice, specifically for Batok ceremony and to learn more about the Batok practices and rituals. So it was really nice to be able to learn that together in community with folks who were interested in it. And so we're not really it's not about numbers for us. We just want to share and connect with as many Filipino folks as much as possible. And then, you know, we also brought Jamie from Survival Arts to teach Kali and also like the history of Kali. So she's been here like her second year. Again, we'll also be hopefully be bringing Christian back. And those are the things that we always partner up with Firm. And we kind of have like our staple events now, like in October. And then you can catch us at Philippine Day in July. Firm always has a booth that they share with Indigenous Roots. So we're kind of like, we love to collaborate. And then in December, we always have a get together as well, just as a reflection and a time to give gratitude for the work that we've been able to do together. And also to stand in solidarity with each other, especially during this time. We need to be able to just hold each other with a lot more care and compassion and grace, because it's, you know, there's a lot of folks that are really feeling it, and we need to be able to balance and find synergy in balancing grief and happiness and joy as well.
And just to remind our listeners that Ako'ai Filipino will be taking place from 1 to 3 p.m. on Sunday, October the 12th, and at the Indigenous Roots, which is located on the east side of St. Paul. I would be remiss if you want to learn more about immigration stories. My former co-host, Ramon Hugh and Marlena, they had a podcast called Kwentuan. And if you want to really learn about a love story, the making of Indigenous Roots, hearing the story about Marianne and her husband's journey, yes, is a pretty compelling couple episodes to listen to if you're looking for something out there to fill some time and see how they made such an amazing journey here in the United States, and seeing that anything's possible as long as you have the desire to succeed and determination and have a big heart.
Thanks for plugging, Quentin.
Aw, thanks, Ellen. Okay, this is your official invite to Ellen's birthday party at Indigenous Roots next Sunday. So if Ellen's there, we're going to celebrate Ellen. And if Ellen's not there, because he's celebrating family, we will also be celebrating Ellen with cake. So we'll call you, Ellen. And even if we FaceTime you and sing to you, we will be there with cake. So come next Sunday, October 12th. We'll be there from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Indigenous Roots Cultural Arts Center with Firm and all of our Filipino friends and artists. So come through. So thank you, Ellen, for being so gracious and allowing us to use, you know, for you to share this platform for us and for us to be able to be here with you tonight.
Well, I greatly appreciate all three of you taking the time on a Sunday night to join us here on The Fan. I thought it'd probably be appropriate that we play a song that's similar to the name of the event next week. It's a song from a group called Orange and Lemons, and the name of this song is entitled Pinoy Ako. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
You.
Recording stopped.